Ask Sherwin-Williams during the 4-day super sale September 16th through the 19th and get 40% off paints and stains with prices starting at $26.69. That means 40% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, 40% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Guerrilla mindset versus some of the things you're studying today. Just your thoughts on the 1-6 political prisoners. I mean, you've always been, as far as social media, you're a lawyer. You're also a cutting edge thought leader in this movement. You're not shy about your opinions. Walk me through your thoughts on the 1-6 political prisoners and just the process about it. Not even what they did, but the process about how they're being treated.
Right. Well, the fundamental principle of the federal criminal justice system is as follows. You can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. And that's something that every lawyer knows and every lawyer will tell you. And by that, it means this. The Department of Justice made mass arrests. They flashbanged innocent people. They kicked down doors. They terrorized people. Who knows what else they did? That's just what we've had reported so far. They put people into solitary confinement. They did sensory deprivation. We're talking about stuff that would be considered a war crime if it were happening in Russia and Ukraine, right? If the Russians were kicking down doors, well, they probably are. They are committing war crimes, obviously. But if you kick down someone's door, take them from their family, throw them in a dark room and deny them all interaction with the world, you're a war criminal, right? That's the way it works. Well, that's happening here in the United States of America. So what they did with that shock and awe, not my words, that was the words used on 60 Minutes by a high-level prosecutor. What they did by that process was destroy people's lives and then made it so that you couldn't afford to have a lawyer and you couldn't defend yourself. And then they said, okay, you're destitute, your reputation's destroyed, you can't have a bank account, we've completely nuked you, now why don't you just plead guilty to a misdemeanor? You won't get jail time or you won't get much jail time. It's only a misdemeanor. Hey, what's the big deal? And then people started pleading guilty right away because they didn't have the resources to fight these false charges. And now the Department of Justice can say, oh, look, we've gotten 100 convictions. We've got 200 convictions. We're really taking action against this insurrection that happened on January 6th. But if you're actually a lawyer, you go, no, these are all chicken crap misdemeanor offenses that were fabricated, that were not legally viable. But what are you going to do? These people are poor and destitute. So one gentleman actually was able to fight in court. He had the resources, fortunately, to fight in court. And he was acquitted because he was let in by Capitol Police. And it was testified, a Capitol Police officer testified under oath that an order was given to wave people in. We all knew this, right? But what do you do if you just lost your job, your life is destroyed, you were waved in and you're not able to fight it? So what the Department of Justice is doing is I consider a major war crime. And I read that Kevin McCarthy said that he doesn't want Joe Biden impeached for quote-unquote political reasons. And to say that I'm furious about that, and I've never liked McCarthy at all, but to say that that is an insult to everyone who's been a victim of these crimes, I want war crimes tribunals. We know that when the GOP retakes power, we know that they're going to say, oh, we're not going to pass Biden's $4.5 trillion budget, inflation, deficits, blah, blah, blah. We saw it under Paul Ryan and Barack Obama. We all know how it's going to end. They're going to fight a little bit. Oh, this is terrible, deficits. And then they're going to, we know they're going to do this, right? Okay, fine. We got to have war crime tribunals, though. For the people who died of suicide, for the opioid crisis, and for the shock and awe techniques by the Department of Justice. None of this, like, we're not going to impeach Biden. Who are you? You want to be Speaker of the House of Representatives, and you're afraid to take on Biden and the regime? So I don't know. I think that's the biggest problem right now is that Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, who, though, obviously, that's a shame what they did to Sean Parnell, to you know, what a great travesty for a judge to do that. But I'm way more worried about McCarthy becoming Speaker of the House than I am that some TV goober is going to be another, you know, vote in the Senate to vote along with caucus with Romney and Susan Collins. But, you know, big whoop. McCarthy's the real problem, I think.
Let's go. I want to go to Michigan because you're a lawyer. It's so shocking what we found out of Michigan. This was an FBI and DOJ operation, right? I mean, the logistics around it, what they had to do to get the warrants. Walk us through. Doesn't that lead us to say we've got to get to the bottom of 6 January in the Fed's direction? I mean, we got to stop playing games here and get to the bottom of what the FBI, DHS, the National Security State, and DOJ under. And this was Ray and Bill Barr, right? Bill Barr, the same guys that suppressed the laptop from hell, were in back of this. What do you think has to happen, Mike Cernovich?
Well, that was an October surprise. How do you not investigate the Michigan kidnapping hoax as election interference? That would be my first question is, how do you, Kevin McCarthy, not investigate that October surprise as election interference? You want to talk about election disinformation? Let's talk about election disinformation. That was an election disinformation campaign orchestrated by the highest levels of the FBI and the highest levels of the Department of Justice. So how do you not hold immediate tribunals on that? Now, I will say that when the arrest happened, I was one of the first people to say that I thought that it was fake. I worded it a little bit. Well, as you know, if you read my tweets, I can be a little crass sometimes. But the substance of it was that the FBI couldn't stop 9/11. So what they do is they would find some Muslim who was schizophrenic and say, oh, don't you want to do the jihad? Here you go. Hey, we'll help you out. Or they find lonely Muslim men and use a fake female profile to say, oh, if you're a real man, take action, right? If you're a real Muslim man, here's what you have to do. And next thing you know, the guy shows up to a site and he's raided. And the FBI goes, wow, look, we stopped another jihadist. No, you didn't. You preyed upon a either emotionally vulnerable or mentally ill young man. So right away, I knew when the Michigan thing happened, and the tweet is all time stamped. The receipts are all available. I said, they found some, you know, destitute guys. I didn't know anything but the headline, right? All I do is I understand the FBI. I understand the way the government really works. I knew right away, oh, they found some, you know, ne'er-do-wells who in this case happened to fit the demographic of the much-hated white man. And then they were able to set him up. And then sure enough, you know, it happens. It turns out the lead FBI agent was a swinger with a BDSM thing and beats up his wife, gets drunk. They're all druggies, right? Just you can't honestly make it up, except that you realize that we live in such a demonic world that that's all what you do expect is this is who it is. These are who these people are. So right away, I knew that it would be uncovered as essentially a hoax. And sure enough, as it was, and I feel bad for the people who have to go through that process because, again, you, like I said at the beginning of the segment, you can beat the rat, but you can't beat the ride. There's a lot of stress, a lot of destruction of family relationships, a lot of lost finances. It essentially upends your life forever. And that's, again, what the Department of Justice is doing to people. So I would really like to hear Kevin McCarthy explain why there's not going to be human rights tribunals. You know, I'd like for somebody to ask him, what do you mean you don't want to impeach Biden for quote-unquote political reasons? What are you talking about? Like, who are you? What world do you live in? You and Frank Luntz, is that what some poll that Frank Luntz commissioned with a bunch of people on 14th Street in D.C. at maybe Shelley's Cigar Lounge or something told you, a bunch of lobbyists told you? I just wonder where people come up with this kind of stuff that you're not going to have a human rights tribunal? Or are you kidding me? Who are you? Like, where did you come from? Who created you?
Serovich, if Jim Jordan or ISA would take oversight or take and they get a special commission to start looking at impeachment on the invasion on the southern border, on what happened here with the whole issue of domestic terrorism, on the whole Fauci situation, on the laptop from hell, could we count on you? If they ask you, would you volunteer and become one of the special counsels for that? You're a tough lawyer. Would you volunteer for that?
I absolutely would. It would be a great public service, even knowing that they would try to make a martyr out of me. We all know that that's what they would do, is make a martyr out of me. And that's what they need. We need the pit bulls on the right. We need, you know, where's the Andrew Weissman of the right to call this what it is, to call this a human rights violation, to call this war crimes, to call these crimes against humanity, to call this election disinformation, to start subpoenaing the DOJ and all their phones. Let's start looking into them, right? Based on, again, just the facts. This is not Mike Cernovich, stay-at-home dad, comes up with a kooky conspiracy theory. This is just me saying I knew the day that the arrest happened that it wasn't going to be what they said. I knew that it was going to be exactly the opposite of what they said. I knew that it was election disinformation, election interference, and this should be prosecuted as a crime, as a felony. It should be treated as felony election disinformation, and there has to be trial. I mean, how do you not have trials? Give the people – here's what I don't understand about these people, right? The conservative Christian base, the conservative base more broadly, they know that they're going to get railroaded on the budget. They know, you just know by now, right? You got to give these people something, or why are they going to vote? What's the incentive to vote? Oh, you can have Dr. Oz caucus with Mitt Romney and Susan Collins, and they can vote for a judge who gives lenient sentences and very serious cases. Oh, and you're going to get $4 trillion budgets. Oh, and you're going to get double-digit inflation. And oh, you're going to get a war. Maybe you won't. Oh, you're going to be called a Russian spy after the Democrats did that and gaslit you for 5 years. Now you're going to be gaslit and emotionally abused for another 5 years. Oh, yeah, and we're not going to impeach Biden because that's not really appropriate, right? We don't really want to do that. So why, this is what I ask, why would you go out to vote if you're a Republican? This is not a question that they can answer, that they want to answer. Like, why? What's the point? Oh, great, more deficit budgets. We'll get a few headlines. Oh, that's, wow, that's bad. Okay, budget too high, bad. You'll slice off $400 million, maybe, if people are lucky. But nobody cares about that anymore because they know that there isn't going to be any change. So I don't know how you don't promise and you don't run on human rights tribunals. And I mean that language. I don't mean hear. I don't want to hear anybody talk about a hearing. Right. I don't want to hear, oh, we're going to have, I don't want to hear, oh, we're going to have a hearing. No, we want human rights trials. That's what we want. We want hog style trials, and we deserve them. And the American people deserve them because there's a genocide happening via the opioid epidemic. There's a genocide happening with this is genocide. If you look at the definition of genocide, if you look at, oh, chemical weapons. Oh, did Russia dump sarin gas? Well, now we have to go to World War III. If some, you know, the Azov battalion says that Russia used sarin gas on someone, you got to have World War III now. Well, why wouldn't you call fentanyl a chemical weapon of mass destruction being imported in the border? Isn't that worthy of something oh no, but we don't want to do hearings. We don't want to offend people. You know, Frank Luntz's focus group, by the way, Frank Luntz worked for, remember, he was big in pushing Vioxx. So I think this is all very interesting. And I think that a lot of people need to get their heads on right or go away. You know, if you want to be like Mitt Romney and march with domestic terrorists, go right ahead and do that, but just get out of the way of everyone else.
All righty, we are back. And so the question, Joe, first of all, let me just say, bring it on down. I don't know. Let's go back to where we start. Okay. We want to say Claudia in Illinois pledges 50. Denise in Philly pledges 50. Carmen in Connecticut pledges 100. Hector in Michigan pledges 50. Stephanie in New York pledges 77. Sabre in Beverly Hills. Oh, Sabre in Beverly. What? Michigan. Okay, there you go. Pledges 100. And Mike in California pledges 200. Okay, so, all right. Right now, we need $4,700. We're $4,700 short of our goal for tonight. We've got less than an hour to raise that $4,700 tonight. And so, those numbers are 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Now, again, I wanted to tell the folks that we have out there, but you have to ask for it. You got to tell us you want it. We have Attempt a Cure, dynamite book. It's got all, from A to Z, all the different elements out there. Folks, we ask a donation of $40. It's got a lot. It's over 300 pages. Also, everybody's sick, and I know why. A donation of $30. It, too, is a dynamite book. You hear the songs played on this radio program. We get orders all the time from people. You know, they want us to send them one song. They don't come one song. They come on a CD. They come about 19 or 20 songs. And we ask a donation of $20. The Red Book, next to the Bible, it's my favorite book, folks, and I've got about 10,000 books. But next to my Bible, it's my favorite book. It's called The Red Book, and it is really a handy. It's right there. What an aid it is. You know, even when people get Joe's age and they start forgetting things, that book really helps us find the Scripture, don't it, Joe?
Yes, it does, and I will admit that I have trouble with memory, and the audience knows that.
Do you remember any of the things that you forgot, Joe?
It's a constant search.
All right, yeah, okay. Larry Nichols, 28 Years to Nowhere. We ask a donation. That's a good book, $230. And then if you get two or more of those things, we'll give you a mystery gift, and we got some really good mystery gifts. And don't forget, 2,000 mules. We ask a donation of $40. Right now, you know, right now we're waiting on it. We're supposed to get a new order in. If we get that order in, the very next day we get it in, we'll start shipping it out to you folks. We've already put over 300 of those out, and folks, people are watching. See, people know they're. Now think about this. They put out over 22 million have been sold, and that many people. Just think about this. At least if each one of those, if two people watched it, it's 44 million people that know the truth. 44 million people that know the truth, and that drives the fake news media crazy. And if we get these out there, if you get them and you show them in the library, show them in your church, but just show it. If you haven't gotten it yet, you really need to get it. And we ask a donation of $40, and we're told that we should be getting those in any day now. And so, Joe, I tell you what we need to do. Before I answer the question on why should we go vote, let's pray, because we're way behind. And so I want to just have the folks out there listen to pray with us. If you would join us in prayer, we need your help. If you say, well, I can't afford to give, then at least pray with us, because there are many, many people out there listening, out there with deep pockets and
churches that could make us part of their giving, their mission giving,
right,
and all over the country.
Okay, and it's an investment in the work of the Lord. And folks, you can't invest in anything better than the work of the Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, as we come before you, Lord, you said ask, and you have not because you ask not. Well, Lord, we've been asking. We've been doing exactly what you said. And Lord, you know, in all of these years that we've been, Lord, you know we haven't ever given you any less than our best, Lord. Right now, Father God, just like I want to thank you for those people that the FBI is going after, the FBI is arresting, because, Lord, those are people that have courage and they have integrity and honor, and they stand up for, and we're living in a time, the FBI has become just like the KGB or the Gestapo out there today. And, Lord, we wonder every day, even those of us, I wonder when they're going to come in the middle of the night, 30 or 40 of them, and kick in my doors, because these are jackbooted thugs. They become that way. And so, Lord, we have to wonder about this, yet we know one thing. You've told us we must obey God rather than man. We must be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And again, Lord, we will say we will obey God and not man. So we know you've told us that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. We know from Genesis to Revelation, you've made it very clear that resistance to tyranny is obedience. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience. So, Father God, again, we come before you tonight. We're asking, Lord, that you motivate your people. Lord, we need to hear from them out there tonight. Lord, I wish we didn't have to ask for a dime. If we could afford it, I wouldn't. But in order to stay on the air, continue to be the watchman on the wall, because they're going to need, Lord, they're going to need what we bring to them as long as we can, as long as you keep us here. And we know as long as your hand is upon us, the FBI and Merrick Garland and every corrupt creature from the gates of hell cannot remove us, as long as your hand is upon us. And so, Lord, we ask that you continue to use us. And, Lord, as we look for your return, we say, even so, Lord, come quickly. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. I want to say that here, where do we leave off? Okay. All right. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. And, Joe, I want to remind the folks out there, the newsletter, we send the newsletter out. And Joe, you know what kind of information we send out. We get compliments all the time from people on our newsletter.
All the time. And do like I do. I take my copy. I've got a copy machine. I make a bunch of copies, hand them out at church, hand them out to my family, friends. And I ask everyone I give a copy to do the same, so that one copy maybe turns into 100 or 200. I don't usually know. But it reaches a lot of people, saves the ministry a lot of money, and spreads the truth.
All right, very good. Here's some of the things that are happening out there.
I've got to tell you something. Remember way back when we were telling people about the Dominion voting machines and some problems? Well, it turns out that computer experts and security experts warn of a serious threat to Georgia voting machines. And it came down to, you know, the midterms are just a couple of months away, and these experts are telling them to switch to a hand-marked paper ballots. Switch to hand-marked paper ballots. The group urged them to stop using the state's Dominion voting touchscreen voting machines, and it also suggests they mandate a type of post-election audit and the outcome. So these 13 experts sent a big letter to the members of the state election board and the secretary of state, their Brad Raffensperger, a non-voting member of the board there in Georgia. Stuff we were telling you a long, long time ago that's getting validated over and over and over. And just had to put that plug in. I mean, it's not, I don't mean to, what do you call, you know, pat ourselves on the back, but we have been putting a lot of truth out there far ahead of the media, far ahead, and then we tell you when it's been validated by other news stories.
Well, you know, it was President Trump that really exposed Ratzenberger. He was one of the first mm-hmm. ones that, and boy, they attacked him, but he went after them. And we told you that they were as corrupt gets out there. Again, we saw what was happening in Georgia when they kicked all the Republicans out of the polling place, and then they pulled all of the boxes out from underneath the tables.
It was on film. I mean, you could see them pull out the suitcases. And
we saw them in Michigan where a truck came in, a big box truck, and they unloaded thousands, and it said, right on the trucks, Biden ballots. These are fake Biden ballots. In Michigan, they actually boarded up the windows. They boarded up the windows at the election Board of Elections and would not allow any Republicans in. And then they used dirty cops right there in Michigan. They used dirty cops to go out and force the Republicans out so they couldn't see them marking and switching the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, unbelievable. But see,
well, now they've got a Democrat running around out there, Tim Ryan, a Democrat from your home state of Ohio, as kind of saying, well, really, America needs to kill and confront Republicans. He was talking about, oh, I'm bipartisan, blah, blah, blah. But he said some answers will come from the GOP. They won't be from the, quote, extremists that we're dealing with every single day. We've got to kill and confront that movement. He's talking about any Trump supporter, any MAGNA person. Now, you remember, Pastor, when Biden got up and called us anti-fascists, we're terrorists, we're the ones that are angry, hateful, we're the dangerous ones. I remember when that 2016 election, there were riots in the street. Hillary Clinton had people, there were 25,000 people marched on Trump Tower. There were about 12,000 people were at Los Angeles Wilshire Boulevard. There were people attacked and beaten up, and I've got about five or six examples. Some of the electors were bombarded. The fact they were demanding the Republican Electoral College members ignored their vote and dumped Trump and elect Hillary. These people on the electors received threats, thousands of abusive phone calls, thousands of emails, death threats. One of the guys, Michael Benararian, said, I've had people talk about putting a bullet in the back of my mouth. These people call not only for the burning of myself, but my whole family to be burned.
All right, now.
The left is accusing us of doing the things that they have done and they are continuing to do. You must figure this out, people. They always accuse, the communists always accuse the other side of doing exactly what they're doing. They are the ones who did the violence. They are the ones who rioted in the streets. They are the ones who were beating people up then and now. And this is why we need to defeat these people.
All right, we want to say Mike in California pledges $200. Bill in Hartville pledges $200. Jan in Minnesota pledges $75. And Jerome in California pledges $50. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, one and all. Yes, we're getting there.
Okay, Joe. Now, you know, the question that we just heard in that clip we played from Bannon was that why should people, Republicans, because everything's always, the election is always rigged. And you have these politicians like Lindsey Graham, who these rhinos that always sell us out, always sell us out. And so why should they even bother to vote? We know we're going to get sold out, okay? So what do you think the answer to that is, Joe?
Well, I think you've got the best one, but I'm going to give a sub-answer because God knows that much of his church has not registered to vote. Much of the church has never gone and voted. a great deal of the church has never gotten involved in politics because somebody said, oh, a church shouldn't get involved in politics. So they don't talk about issues. They let the devil run the government. They let the devil educate their children in the school system. And God is waiting for his people to wake up and set things right and bring this nation back to that nation under God, where all our institutions of law and government were based on his Ten Commandments and the teaching of the New Testament. I think that's one answer. You've got another.
Well, yeah. First of all, if you don't go and vote, then you have no right to complain when the enemy gets into office. But more than that, God has made it very, very clear. He didn't make this an elective. He made it very, very clear. We are to be salt and light. We're to be salt and light. We are to be to lead this. And he tells you to go and be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, folks, listen. When you go out and go to battle, he said, who will fight on the Lord's side? Who will fight on the Lord's side? You don't go out and go to battle. When you go to war, you don't say, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to war. I might not win it. That's not the idea. When you answer the call, you answer the call. Now, the opposition is out there. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. If you have faith, we're more than conquerors in Christ through the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have to take this battle to the Communist Party. They are the Antichrist Party. They are Antichrist. Everything within the Democratic collective today is Antichrist. It's all about death. It's all about death. And listen, you know what? If you don't have the guts to stand up and like men and say, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to win this battle. Today I was telling you when the sheriff came out and spoke at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and the sheriff told us to stand up, defend your property, defend your life, defend each other. And he made it very, very clear that in our county where we only have a couple FBI agents, but they work right together with the sheriff's department. And they don't come in as bullies or anything. They actually do their job, okay, out in our county. And so, but he made it very clear, too, that we have the responsibility. If we have these rogue agents, they come out, or if burn, loot, and murder, or Antifa, you know, they made these threats that they're going to come out in the suburbs and burn down the white people's houses. Well, our sheriff made it very, very clear. But more than that, somebody much more important with much more authority made it very, very clear. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When he instructed his disciples to sell their robe and buy a sword. And the point was that they had to be prepared to defend each other. This is the time we're talking about today. We know that the Lord's return is imminent. We know it's coming soon. But until then, we are to stand here to occupy. We are to occupy and hold our ground until he returns, folks. So, again, that's why. And so, shame on you if you don't go out and vote. Shame on you. Shame on you if you're not registered to vote. Okay.
Yeah. And if there's time, real quick before the break, Thomas Paine, back during the Revolution, had this quote, those who profess to favor freedom yet depreciate agitation are men who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without the thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of the waters. This struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both moral and physical, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without demand. It never did in history. It never will. Find out just what the people will submit to, and you have found the exact amount of injustice and wrong which will be opposed upon them, and these wrongs will continue until they are resisted with either words, blows, or both, or votes. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. If you take it, you'll be a slave. You want to be free, you better stand up and say, no, we're not going to take this. from our government.
We're not going to take it. That's right. We're going to change things up a little bit in there, Craig. What you need to do is get that. I want to play that song by John Wayne, where it's "Face the Flag, Son." So I would tee that up and hear. Meanwhile, Deacon Mark pledges 100. Thank you, Deacon Mark. Okay. And so when you can, pot that up, and we're going to play that. But as we go into that, a quick one here. Former Twitter security chief to Congress, Twitter leadership is misleading public and can track any user's location at any time. This is what we've known, Joe. We've known this all along. So finally, the chickens are coming home to roost at Twitter, huh?
Yeah. Hopefully, a lot of things will be coming out. They've been letting Chinese operatives in, all kinds of things. They've been, don't let it interfere with growth. Don't let whatever the problem is, we don't want it to interfere with the growth of the company. And basically, this whole nation has been selling itself out for the love of money.
Well, I wanted to say God bless this lady, and I'll tell you what that's all about right after this.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue. A flag that guarantees the rise for men like me and you.
Face the flag, son. Read what's written there. History, the progress, the heritage we share. Our flag reflects the past, son, but stands for so much more. And in this age of Aquarius, it still flies in the forward. It leads the forward movement shared by all mankind to learn, to love, to live with peace of mind, to learn the mysteries of space as well as those of Earth. Love each man for what he is, regardless of his birth. To live without the fear of reprisal for belief. To ease the tensions of a world that cries out for relief.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue.
Face the flag, son. Take a good long look. What you're seeing now can't be found in a history book. It's the present, the future, son. It's being written now. And you're the one to write it. The flag can show you how. Do you know what it stands for? What its makers meant? To think, to speak, the privilege of dissent. To think our leaders might be wrong, to stand and tell them so. These are the things that other men under other flags will never know. But responsibility, that's the cross that free men must bear. If you don't accept that, freedom isn't there.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white. A flag that guarantees the rise for men like me and you.
Face the flag, son, and face reality. Our strength and our freedoms are based in unity. The flag is but a symbol, son, of the world's greatest nation. As long as it keeps flying, there's cause for celebration. So do what you gotta do, but always keep in mind, a lot of people believe in peace, but there are the other kind. If we want to keep these freedoms, we may have to fight again, God forbid. But if we do, let's always fight to win. The fate of a loser is futile, it's bare. No love, no peace. Just misery, despair. Raise the flag, son, and thank God it's still there.
Alrighty, we are back, and well, we have a prayer request for Coach Dwayne. Coach Dwayne from the Fire is calling, and he's telling us that he's having a gallbladder attack right now, and he's in a lot of pain. So, wow. Joe, would you pray for that? You know, that's painful. Would you pray for Coach?
Oh, yes. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, you knew before we did that our dear brother Coach Dwayne is having some bad problems. And with a gallbladder attack, yes, he is hurting, he is sick, and is going to need immediate medical help. And, Lord, we just ask that you be with him, that you be with the doctors and nurses that care for him, that you help control this emergency and see that he arrives safely through it. He is a great warrior for the gospel, a great witness in his testimony, and a dear friend of those of us in the ministry. And, Lord, we just ask that you bless him in every way possible. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Coach has been a soldier. He's been out there. He's
yes.
When he makes his movies, The Fire, he doesn't. Well, here he is. Let's bring Coach up. Coach, you're in the air.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey, God bless you.
Well, you too. God bless you. Thanks for the there, you have made a pledge of $100. Thank you, Coach. And Daniel in North Carolina pledged $100, too. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, my gallbladder's acting up. I had a severe attack the other day that dropped me for about 25 minutes. I broke out into a violent, violent sweat. I didn't want to go to hospital, and it finally let up, man. I was begging God, and I can see where it's starting to act up tonight, so I just want to ask God, man, hey, I don't want another one of these attacks because they're horrible.
They certainly are, and I can understand why you don't want to go to the hospital.
Go through, but I think you better get yourself to a hospital, my brother.
Yeah, hopefully I can get through this and then go get an ultrasound and find out if it's the stones in there. But anyway, thanks for praying, and God bless. I love you guys.
Well, thank you, Coach.
We love you, and we're wishing that this will be over quickly.
Thanks for all you do. Well, you know why he didn't want to go to the hospital. Nowadays, like everything else, a lot of people don't want to go to the hospital nowadays, and we have stories every single day. We have people calling us and telling us that they're trying to give him remdesivir.
Well, they can't confuse a gallbladder with COVID.
Yeah, they can, too. They can, too. People have gone in there with totally unrelated diseases, and because of the money involved, and if they die in it, we have a clip that you need to really hear. And, well, I played one where the two nurses that were on that were crying. They were crying. They said they were purposely killing people. And I think the one hospital was New York Hospital, and they were purposely, but because of the money involved, they got so much money if they died from COVID.
Wow.
When they were actually dying from the vaccines.
I contacted Wendy Wilson. She's going to send out some milk thistle and some other stuff, and I'm just hoping I can get by on this, but I'm going to get off here because I don't feel too good, but I'm going to listen to you guys, and thanks for your prayers. Love you guys. God bless.
God bless you, Coach. Yeah, Wendy's on top of stuff. She's really good at that. All righty. You know, I wanted to say this for this lady here. Pro-life mother shuts down abortion advocate on the Dr. Phil show. Despite it was a setup to favor the pro-abortion position. Joe, virtually every television program that I've gone on, secular, to take the pro-life position, it's been a setup. Every one has been a setup. But I knew that going in.
They've never played fair.
I knew that going in, and guess what? Every single time I whooped them. Every time. So here, although the Dr. Phil show is a setup to favor the pro-death position, a pro-life mother stunned the entire studio by effectively shutting down a pro-death obsessed liberal. And they got a picture of the two here. And boy, you can tell.
Right.
You can tell the difference between the lady and the liberal. It goes on to say that president and founder Lila Grace Rose appeared on the Dr. Phil's show Monday to defend the sanctity of life. Rose did an excellent job of defending the rights of the unborn and educating those who support abortion on the importance of the most fundamental right that a human possesses, which is the right to life. During the show, one abortion advocate accused Rose of having no empathy. There was nothing you could possibly say to justify the level of lack of empathy. That's the problem. I feel like this country, at the moment, we were founded on the lack of empathy, and we just kept up with that tradition. You have no empathy, she said. Abortion is devastating to a woman's mental health. No one talks about that, Rose responded. Yeah, they don't tell you that these women that have killed their babies are seven times more likely to commit suicide than the ones that have not.
I guarantee you, my wife and I ran a large, or on a board of a large maternity home and crisis pregnancy center, and we can't tell you how many women came in who had had abortions that were turning to drugs, alcohol, cheating in their marriage, destroying their lives. The guilt was tremendous, and we saw so much of it. I can validate every word she's saying is 120% true.
Because the wages of sin is death, Joe.
Death, yeah.
The wages of sin is death.
The child stays with you forever.
All right, here you go. The top eight ways that the AMA, the FDA, and the CDC bury natural cures. You know what? I'm going to save this for tomorrow because we have, Lord's willing, if we can stay on the air, we're going to have Miss Wendy with us tomorrow, and this would be a good one for her to look at here. Project Veritas, New York Middle School's teacher, encourages students to engage in political violence and throw bricks at old people with opposing views. What do you think of that, Joe?
It sounds like the public school system is getting crazier and crazier. Just about the time you think they can't get any worse, it does. And it's continuing. Get your children out. If you love your children, your grandchildren, especially in the larger metropolitan areas, get your children out, homeschool, Christian school. It's time to save their souls. I mean, literally save their souls.
All right. Leo Holman writes this. Leo Holman. Biden's executive order designed to release transhumanist hell on America. If anyone needed proof that the power is pushing the levers behind the mindless moron who sits at the Oval Office are fully on board with the World Economic Forum, United Nations agenda, and the biomedical tyranny and transhumanism, look no farther than the executive order that Obama Biden signed on Monday, September 12th. And hang on, I got to turn a page on this one. The transhumanists with Big Pharma have completely taken over government policy and taxpayers' funds to promote their own anti-human agenda of hacking the software of life, Wood told me. It also clearly demonstrates who has the power and who sets the policies in America. The mRNA injections that have already gone into the bodies of at least 70% of adults in the U.S. I don't believe that number. Joe, I don't believe they keep telling us that, and I know this is where he's getting his stats, but the people that I'm talking to, and I read out there in the public, in that they're telling me they haven't gotten it, okay?
Right.
Right now, we're in a studio, not one person in this studio has gotten them, okay? The RNA injections have already gone into the bodies of at least 70% of the adults in the U.S. marked the gateway to transhumanism. We have been told by this Kingston, as well as by the late Dr. Zeb Zelenko and Dr. Robert Malone, a co-inventor of the mRNA platform. LeoHolman.com was one of the first sites to blow the whistle on Moderna's former chief medical officer, Tal Zaks, who told the world straight up in December 2017, "We have hacked the software of life, and that is the RNA gene editing biotechnology would be incorporated into vaccines to treat and prevent all manner of illnesses. We've seen now how well they work, with millions getting sick and millions dying after getting two or more doses of the COVID injection offered by Moderna and Pfizer. With the FDA and the CDC now totally on board This mRNA technology is being included in scores of other vaccines, including flu shots. And so, you know, here people are killing themselves out there. We've come to this point, just like the Bible tells you in Proverbs chapter 1.
Yep, I'm looking in Australia. The state, Victoria, is known for its rigid COVID restrictions. Its people, it's 95% of the adults there have received the vaccines. Most have been boosted. And yet, government data itself showed deaths in August soared to the highest level they've ever had. Their data is very good because they have a state law requiring doctors and funeral directors to report deaths online. The deaths are registered immediately. And so far, in 2022, Victoria has registered 32,533 deaths, which is 20% above its average. And all of those that died were vaxxed or double vaxxed. So it's starting to show up. They're still not claiming it's the vaccine, but the figures, you look at their figures, the British government, adults 40 to 70 who have received the boosters are twice as likely to be hospitalized and die as those who are not. So it's starting to come out all over the country, different studies, a little different in different countries, but same results. People are dying from the shot. And many others are becoming very ill, sick with all kinds of problems, especially heart.
Rosita in Michigan pledges 300. Teresa in Dallas pledges 100. Bob in Dallas pledges 100. Karen in Illinois pledges 40. Okay, thank you, thank you. All right, folks, we don't have much time left, I can tell you. We're going to be here for a few minutes after the program tonight because...
Again.
Okay, so, all right, there you go. So now we have, right now we are about 36. We need about 3,600. We're about 3,600 short, and we got about 5 minutes to raise that 3,000.
Well, credit card number is 1-888-281-1110. That's 1-888-281-1110. The main line is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Remember, we're totally dependent on you, the listener. It's up to you. It's your hands, so we just ask you to prayerfully consider. If you want to hear from us, hear this radio ministry on the station you're listening to, you must help us pay the bill. Nobody in this ministry takes any money, any salary, and your donations pay the bills that keep us on the air. We're dependent solely on you, and we can't be kicked off of Twitter and Facebook or anything else. It's in your hands, so it's up to you, folks.
All right, Joe, you know what? I'll tell you what. We're doers of the word, not hearers only. I'm going to pledge another. We pledged 1,000 last night. We're going to pledge another 1,000, Doers of the Word Church, and we're going to ask. We're going to ask some people to match it. We just need a few people to match us out there. Right now, we need actually about 3 people to match us. We can get 3 people to match us. We're
home free.
Right.
Well, when you said about being doers of the word, your church is very aptly named. But Scripture also says, "Be a doer of the word, be a doer of the work." That's what God assigns you to do. Be a doer of His law, and basically, He says, "Keep His commandments." If you love Me, you will obey Me, and it all comes down to do the will of My Father. Jesus said, "The will of My Father, which is in heaven." And everything that Jesus has asked us to do, witness, testify, reprove, rebuke, you know, pray, stand in the gap, run to the battle, fight the fight, you know, go out. And every word He's uttered that He's asked of us to do the work is an active verb. And then in Scripture it says very plainly, if you support a ministry or a prophet, and you get to share in all the blessings that anything that blesses God, you get to share in. And remember, we have the King's Word School of the Bible, the Right to Life ministry, a prison ministry. We have a trucking ministry. Several of us have been in hospice or still are. Anything that we do that blesses God in the ministry, God says you get to share in the blessings.
And
you can lay up some crowns and treasures in heaven. We can thank you, but God can give you those crowns and treasures because you're serving him.
I wanted to give our most sincere condolences to the Herman family there in Florida, where Norm Herman has passed away yesterday. He passed away. I believe Norm was about, he was in his early 80s. And again, our most sincere condolences to the entire Herman family for Norm's death. All right, Joe, we've got about 3 minutes left. And three? Okay, there you go. We got 3 minutes left. Get at it.
Minutes, I can tell you the most important thing. Scripture tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to trust him, trusting in God. And if we are to trust him, he tells us that Jesus said, ye must be born again. So if you trust Jesus, you have to be born again because he commands it. What do you do to be born again? Well, the first word we talked earlier tonight, Jesus preached in his ministry, was the word repent, because the wages of sin are death. Repent. We call upon the Heavenly Father. We repent that our sins, your sins, my sins, Pastor Ernie, our sins put Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary. He took your place. He took my place. He did a substitutionary death. He paid the price for our sins. So we have to first repent that our sins placed him there, that he had to suffer and die for us, and ask the Father to forgive us for that, a truly repentant heart. And then we ask the Lord Jesus that we want him to come into our life, to be Lord of our life, all of our life. We can't have reservation. We have to give ourselves to him. And then we ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That is our spiritual baptism. And that indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes us that born-again believer, that child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. It makes us a son or daughter of the living God himself, an adopted child of God. And we become that new, what the scripture says, new creation, new creature. You will be changed. That repentant heart, God will change you. That repent means to turn from your wicked ways and walk toward the Lord and away from your sin. And it will be the greatest thing that has ever happened to you. Is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, my wife. Those that are truly born again are the happiest people I know. You have a peace that, well, Scripture said, that surpasses all understanding. And you have a down payment on everlasting life. What a wonderful opportunity, but you have to claim it. You have to claim Jesus as Lord and claim his mercy and his blessing.
All right, Joe, you said it there. So we are out of time for tonight, folks. We're going to be here for a little while. We still need to hear from you. Good night. God bless. And always, always, always
keep
fighting
the
fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.